Genesis chapter 24. Let's go there in the Word of God. By the way, you can trust this Bible. Through and through, you can trust it. And the reason why we can trust the Bible is because we can trust Him. And we got the Bible from Him. And the Word is as trustworthy as its author. And we thank the Lord for it. Genesis chapter number 24. We're in the middle of this passage. And we began, if you would, in this section last week at verse number 28. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord, wherefore standest thou without? For I prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man came into his house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there were set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. Let the church say amen. Amen. Father, add thy blessing to the reading of your word. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, and fill me with your spirit. Help me to be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. As we've been dealing with this passage, in context, we are watching as a servant of Abraham is searching for a bride for Abraham's son, Isaac. This is a big deal. Isaac is a miracle child. God gave Isaac to Abraham. Let me just say just a moment before I go on any further. If you have children, God gave them to you. Now, I don't care what the doctor tells you, what anatomy tells you. Life doesn't happen unless God says so. And by the way, life doesn't stop unless God says so. And man better not mess with either one of them. And God gives this baby to Abraham and Sarah. They're excited. They name him Isaac, meaning laughter, because they're rejoicing in the goodness of God. And this child is not just any child. This child is the fulfillment of God's promise. This child is the next step in God's covenant with Abraham. And God has already said to Abraham, I'm going to multiply you like the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. I'm going to bless those that bless you. I'm going to curse those that curse you. And in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. And listen to me. God is going to work out that promise through Isaac. So his wife is a big deal. And the servant's got to find her. You know the story we've been talking about. Abraham makes that servant swear, you're going to do it the right way. Amen. And by the way, if we're going to do the will of God, we got to learn to do the will of God the right way. Too much of Christianity is lived this way. I want the product without the process. I want the results without the requirement. I want the gain without the pain. I want to enjoy it without having to execute. Listen to me now. The Christian life is not just about reaping. It's about sowing. It's not just about receiving. It's about giving. It's not just about my way. It's about God's way. We are watching a man in the middle of a miracle, but he's teaching us that God will do his part if we do our part. So submission is paramount. Proceeded by a supplication, he prayed. He prayed because he had no other choice. He prayed because he needed God. He prayed because he didn't have options. He prayed because in his own strength he was incompetent. He prayed because he made a promise. And he prayed because failure was not an option. But he also prayed because although he could not, he knew a God who friend, prayer includes an acknowledgement of two extremes. Number one, prayer includes this acknowledgement: I cannot. But prayer also includes this acknowledgement: my God can. Amen. And don't you miss either. Amen. I'm telling you, what's wrong with a lot of people's prayer life is because they've yet to arrive at I cannot. And what's wrong with a lot of people's prayer life is they've forgotten that, yes, God can. Could I tell you, prayer involves both. Both. Every day I wake up, I've got to understand, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. I can't do anything with God. I've got to understand, I can't live for God. I can't raise my kids right. I can't sustain my marriage. I can't practice holiness. I can't live out the Bible. I can't even demonstrate the promises that I've made to God. I cannot. But I've also got to realize that the God that I serve, yes, he can. Come on now. Yes, he can. Yes, he has. Yes, he will. Aren't you glad that our incompetency does not overshadow God's competency? Aren't you glad that our inability does not supersede God's ability? Aren't you glad that our weakness is less than his strength? That our powerlessness is nothing compared to his power? Somebody's been praying. Somebody's been asking. Somebody's been knocking. Somebody's been begging. The names are on the list. The requests are on the paper. Your mouth is uttering the words and nothing's happening. Get back to the basics. I cannot, but God can. And he prayed. And God came through. Success. In an amazing way. He prayed for there to be a woman that offered water to him and the camels, and sure enough, there was. How many of you are thankful when God answers prayer? Now, we talk Sunday morning about when God doesn't. Thank God that's not always the case. Amen. Sometimes he says no. Amen. And we learn Sunday that when he does, he gives us enough grace to deal with the no. I'm glad that God says yes sometimes. And how many of you can think back to the times when he said yes? So the supplication was followed by success. The success was followed by shouting. We called it personal shouting. Amen. I still believe that the redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. Come on now. We're living in the day of silent praise. We're living in the day of no praise. We're living in the day of apathetic praise. We're living in the day of lethargic praise. We're living in the day of lifeless praise. But if you really think back to where God brought you from, if you really think back to what God brought you through, if you really think back to where God brought you to, if you really think back to what God has allowed you to do, you won't be able to help yourself praising God for what he's done. Now, the powerful scene is where we left off last week. There's some movers and shakers going on. Hey, man, I want us to look at this story. And I want you to look at the chessboard, if you would. There's some pieces moving. God is at work. Amen. I'm glad that regardless of our own circumstances, that we cannot limit Almighty God if we will abide by his word and do what he says. God is at work. There's a powerful scene unfolding before our eyes, jumping off the pages of scripture. And I draw joy and comfort from this passage because the God that's moving and shaking in Genesis 24 is the God who's alive in 2018. So, what's happening? This fella has just finished shouting. And all of a sudden, we find the damsel has been so affected by what's happened that she got to tell somebody. She ran and told them of her mother's house. With the reacting instinct is, when God is on the move in your life, somebody else will notice. Come on, I need more than seven of you on that one. when God is on the move in your life, somebody else will notice. Now, somebody is saying underneath your breath in your head, well, Pastor, I just can't tell that's happening. I don't ever get anybody to notice that God is doing something in my life. Could it be that maybe nothing's going on? I'm telling you, we're living in such a dark world that if you're light, you're going to stand out. We're living in a world that's full of people where nothing's going on. If God is doing it, somebody's going to see it. And by the way, you don't need a loudspeaker. You don't need a platform. You don't necessarily need a position. You don't need a pulpit, and you don't need a microphone. When you live your life in the center of God's will, somebody's going to notice. And she did. She heard him shouting. Look at the verse 27. Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham. The Lord led me. He's praising the Lord. Verse 26, worshiping the Lord. And guess what? She's watching it. I love the song we just sang a few moments ago. Even in the hard times, I'm going to praise him anyway. Now, remember, the personal shout is from you to God. But just because it is personal in its direction doesn't mean it will only be personal in its impact. Is anybody listening to me tonight? I'm simply saying he was worshiping God, but he was affecting that girl. And your worship affects somebody. They're watching you. Her reacting instinct is to go tell her family, guess what happened? Guess who I met? Guess who just walked into my life? By the way, you remember that woman that had five husbands? John chapter 4, Samaritan woman, she is at the well looking for water, and boy, oh boy, did she ever run into it. Somebody help me preach. And listen to me, he started talking to her and simply said to her, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. Now, I want to tell you, that day wasn't different because she just met a man. Could I tell you, respectfully, that woman was used to men. And Jesus made it very clear, having first met her, you got five husbands, and the one you with isn't your husband. Come on now. She was used to meeting men, but she wasn't used to meeting a man like she met that day. Because the man that walked into Samaria wasn't just any man. It was the God man. It was the one who had left the portals of glory and came to earth for the express purpose of dying for the sins of mankind. And he told her she was meeting that living water. And if she were to drink of that water, she would never thirst again. Could I tell you, she was so impacted, she forgot what she came there for. She dropped her water pot, ran back into town and said, come, see a man. They must have thought, yeah, that's what you always say. No. This is different than the other men that I've met. This man told me everything about myself. Is not this the Christ? Wow. And I won't tell you, when you live out your Christianity in front of people, others will see it. The recognizable impression. What do you mean? She's so convinced that this thing is amazing that she's got to go tell somebody. He's so convinced. Look at the verse. Verse 30. Came to pass when he. Y'all looking? Look in your Bible. Came to pass when he what? Now in the last point we talked about what he presented to her. Okay. 2 points ago. He gave her the bracelets and the earrings because he was convinced God had answered his prayer. Amen. I hear a lot of people, God answers their prayer and they won't move forward. Amen. I mean, if God calls you, go do what he called you to do. Don't sit back there talking about, God just gave me a word and you ain't said it. Amen. I mean, if God's given you something, do something with it. Now, he prayed for God to answer his prayer. God answered his prayer. And he said, and listen, if I brought these earrings and bracelets for the woman that God picked, once God picks her, I ought to give her the earrings and the bracelets. Come on now. You asked for a job. God gave you a job. Now, do what you're supposed to do with the job. The brother looks. You ain't had them earrings on when you left the house this morning. You don't think he's thinking this? Now, it's not in the passage, but I imagine he's going, we can't even afford that. Are you listening to me? I mean, he put two and two together, didn't he? Girl, you never had that much bling on in your whole life. That's not in there. Don't quote me. That's KBV. Kenny Baldwin version. But without a doubt in my mind, something he saw was different than what he was used to seeing. Is anybody following me? Look at what the verse said. He saw the earrings. Oh, I love the Bible. Have I ever told you that? Okay, I'm telling you again. I love the Bible. Now look at the Bible. I'm telling you, it's so good, I reckon that some of you ought to read it. Listen to me. At the very least. Look at the verse. This is scripture. This is why we preach verse by verse. And not just themes and stories and pastoral opinions. We preach the Bible. Verse 30. He saw the earrings and bracelets on his sister's hand. Next phrase. And when he what? Heard. Now watch this now. This is what moved this brother. Literally this brother. He saw something and heard something. Watch this now. What she said and what he saw matched. That something big had happened that he wanted to get in on. Can I ask a question? Does what you say match what people see? Preach, Pastor. Because, listen now, because some people in the building probably talk a mean Christian game, but you don't have the bling to match it. And I'm not talking jewelry now. Listen, you know, this just came to me, Matthew chapter 5. Let your light so shine, right? Let your light so shine that others may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. By the way, the light is shining on the outside because God placed the light of Jesus on the inside. Listen to me. You can't shine out if he hadn't shined in. But if he shined in, there's no excuse for your not shining out. Listen to me. She showed up that day at the well with no earrings and no bracelets on, at least not ones that look like that. She got those earrings and bracelets from Abraham. Abraham got them from God, and they were so shining on this lady that her brother said, wow. Now she went back and told her brother. You won't believe what happened. This man told me that I'm the one. He'd been praying. He's looking for me. I'm of the right family. His master needs. Listen. And he got looking at her and listening to what she said and went, I'm going to check this thing out for myself. Now watch it now. I'm meddling now. But I'm going to tell you that you can go to that welcome desk and grab you some Harvest Day flyers and hand them to your coworkers. And I'm here to tell you, you got a better chance at getting your coworkers here on Harvest Day if they have seen something on you and heard something from you that makes them say, I'm going down there to that church and check it out for myself. And he did. It was a recognizable impression. What happened? The resulting invitation. Verse 32. 31, come in now, blessed of the Lord. Why standest thou without? For I have prepared the house, room for the camels. And the man came in the house. This verse just came to me. A man's gift maketh room for him, Proverbs. In other words, when you give to people, it opens the door for an invitation for you to share something else that's even better than what you gave them. Somebody help me preach. Are you listening to me? I'm simply saying they think they made out good from them earrings and bracelets, but they haven't seen anything yet till they find out what he's about to tell them. Now watch this now. Wait a minute now. I mean, some people are going to show up for a moon bounce and a pony ride and some chicken wings and some corn dogs. But if they'll show up the next day, they'll find out that better than the wings and better than the cotton candy and better than the popcorn is a man who gave his life on a cross called Calvary, who will wash their sins. Listen to me now. They liked what they already received, but he was opening the door to give them something better. And we've got something people need. Invitation. I don't know of anything that opens the door for invitations from people to us to share God with them than clear, cut, obvious, visual, and audio that God is at work. Has anybody heard anything from your life that God's at work? Notice the resolute intention. Don't miss this. This is a great story. And if we're not careful, we will learn the stories of the Bible and miss the details of the stories. Come on. This is not just about the servant and Abraham and Isaac and Rebekah. This is about God and his people. And he's still God and we are his people. Look what happens. Comes in the house. He's been invited. Isn't it great when somebody that doesn't know you well sees enough about something special on you that they invite you in and you get a chance to tell them more about God? Now look what the Bible says. Ungirded his camels, gave strong provender to the camels, water to wash his feet, the men's feet that were with him. They were set at meat to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I've told my errand. I like this. This is what I call resolute intention. Now, I'm going to tell you what this man was saying. That food looked good. And my feet need to be washed. And I'm glad you invited me in. Matter of fact, it feels a whole lot better in here than it did out there. But before I move on and enjoy the comforts of this house, let me make sure that I don't do anything else till I tell you why I'm here. If we're not careful, we'll get into the Christian life and start enjoying the perks while forgetting our purpose. I'll say that again. If we're not careful, we will go through the Christian life enjoying the perks and forgetting our purpose. Oh, Pastor, I don't really believe it. Yeah. Yeah. If you're not careful, we'll be 25 minutes into the service, you'll still be reading the bulletin instead of listening to the song. See, you're enjoying the perks, but you're missing the purpose. It's a beautiful bulletin with relevant details, and they're great informing things that you can find out. But everything in there, you can find out after the service is over. But the choir ain't coming to your house to sing to you after the service is over. Anybody listening to me? If we're not careful, we'll sit in the pew and talk with the person beside us and forget that we're not here to talk with them. We're here to let him talk. With anybody listening, you will enjoy the perks and forget your purpose. He could have sat down and go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Get in between that big toe right there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Get right over there. Oh, yeah, what you got there? Got any lemonade, sweet tea? Happy Ham, Arnold Palmer. I'm eating Miss Schubert's rolls with some little butter on it. Yes, that would come on in, boy. Oh, it looked good. Fried chicken wings, my favorite piece. Yeah, and listen to me. If he's not careful, 5 hours he's in there. Next thing you know, he's asleep, spending the night, and he hadn't even told him why he was there in the first place. How many lengthy conversations have you had with people that were ready to listen and you never brought up Jesus? Don't forget why we're here. We've all been there. We finished the day, finished the conversation, finish an event, and then somebody says, is the person saved? And you know what we say? I never asked. Come to think of it, I don't know. I know what team he likes. Huh? I know what his favorite season is of the year. But while I had the opportunity, and while I had his ear, I enjoyed the perks and missed my purpose. And listen to me. Sometimes we only get one shot at it. You may never get that cashier in that line. You may never have that ready-hearted dental hygienist working on your teeth again. And if I had my wish, I wouldn't. I don't like the dentist. I like the orthodontist, but I don't like the dentist. That's just personal. Dentist got a lot of sounds going on in there. It sounds like a construction site. You know, and when you're about to go in my mouth and it sounds like you're about to run a bulldozer to knock a building down, I'm not supposed to enjoy myself. I don't know how I got on that, but I'm just trying to tell you, we only get one chance at some people. Here's an invitation. Stay resolute. How much did we do today that lacked purpose? We're so busy, aren't we? And we're so human. Huh? We are so human. You know where humanistic comes from? Human. It means we become so full of ourselves. And we become so full of ourselves, we forget why we're here. And by the way, we forget how we got here. Amen. I mean, it's nice to be in church tonight, sitting on padded pews on a Wednesday night, talking to our brethren about how our week went. But the truth of the matter is, were it not for the grace of God, we wouldn't have made it here. We wouldn't be here. Were it not for the grace of God, we wouldn't be saved. We wouldn't be in the, when you get in that choir room, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. But don't forget, you're a worship leader. We're going to sing about God. We're going to represent Jesus. When you get on that wall, it's good to have you back. What's up? But listen to me. We're representing the church. We're picking up God's money to be used for the furtherance. When you sit in the church, nice to see you. How you doing? But you're not here to check out new outfits and see if you've seen it before. And ask where you got it from. We're here to lift up the mighty name of Jesus. Wow. Write this down. Rehearsed information. I love the verse 33, the last two words. Speak on. I mean, that's the equivalent to a man giving someone the stage and saying, it's all yours. Testify. How many opportunities do we get from people that say, speak on? I mean, it's like saying sick 'em to a hound dog. That's like a green light. You mean to tell me you're asking me to tell you about my God? Listen to me, folks. You don't get a chance to brag on God to people until they watch you bragging on God to God. This all started because this man, on his own, trusted God, met a woman, and praised God for it. She was so affected by his praise, she told her family. They came back and invited him to the house, and now they're taking good care of him like a guest should be treated. But instead of enjoying the hospitality, he reminds them he's got a responsibility to tell them about God. And they say, speak on. It's like the mic's on. And it's almost like they're saying, take as long as you want. This is what I call rehearsed information. Now, I'm not going to give you points from this next section of the passage because we've already gone over them. The points in this passage are the points that happened earlier. Listen, he's not coming up with a new sermon. He's telling them what God already did. And the story we already watched unfold in his life earlier in the passage, he's sharing with them. What are you talking about, Pat? It says to me, you don't have to be a gifted orator to impact people. You don't have to be called to preach to tell people the truth. You don't need a microphone and a degree in public speaking to let people know what God did. As a matter of fact, the pastor is not going to be good as you are at telling your story because he heard it from you, but you were actually there. And here's what he's doing. I'm going to tell y'all what God did for me.
And I'm going to begin by telling you what he did for my master. Because if God hadn't blessed my master, I wouldn't be his servant. And if I was not his servant, I wouldn't be here today. By the way, isn't it good when we can tell people how good God has been to us? And we can brag on our master. And he's going to rehearse. Write these things down, which I call the rehearsal. And I think this is where we'll close. This rehearsal involved healthy contemplation and helpful communication. Now, what is healthy contemplation? Here it is. It will do you good for you to hear you talking about what God did for you. Let me say it again. Healthy contemplation amounts to this. It will do you good to hear you talk to you about what God has done for you. Now listen, testifying is not just good for the hearer. It's good for the testifier. Listen to me. Matter of fact, data even tells us in our studies that truth is further cemented when it is told and taught to others. Teachers will tell you that they will more readily retain information when they are teaching it to somebody else. Listen to me. I'll tell you why your salvation has gotten so stale. You ain't been telling nobody about it. So it's healthy contemplation. And here's the other end of it. Helpful communication. So I need to hear me talking about what God's done for me. Have you ever gone back to rehearse a story, and while saying the story that you are well familiar with, you got excited within yourself about something you long knew about, and you happier than the person listening, and they just found out? Time we go places, people say, how'd y'all meet? I love telling this story. Laverne, Alabama. I'd never been. She'd never been. It's a preacher there. I showed up. Country town where they pump sunshine in. I walked in that day, never been there. She walked in that day, never been there. She got up to sing. I saw her. She saw me. I saw her. What happened? Nothing. But a couple months later, we were in another state called Georgia. She saw me. I saw her. We had a conversation. How long? About 1 minute. But the conversation she heard was so impactful. Every time I was in the state, she stalked me. I showed up at a church. She came in. I showed up at another church. She came in. She just followed me. I'm also noticing that the story is getting more one-sided every time I tell it. I got death threats. If you don't marry my daughter, I'll kill you. No, I didn't have to. But you know, every once in a while, you need to go back and rehearse how y'all met so you can appreciate that y'all still together. Amen. I mean, after a while, you start forgetting good details. You're sitting there with your job and your car and your larger clothes. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You know you wasn't that big. She wouldn't have married you if you were that big, boy. You look way better back then. But now you're sitting here and you're all dignified and you're in church. And you're the provider in the home. Didn't have two nickels to rub together when she met you. But you like what you saw. And by the way, you loved her so much then that you called her every day. by the way, testifying now about then might have you start talking back to her now. I don't mean talking back. I mean, conversating, you know what I'm saying? Which is not technically the right word, but getting back to the stuff that kept you in love before. I'm telling you, I think this testifying is helping this brother. I think he's getting happy telling them. I mean, he's probably going, you know what? Now that I think about it, I don't even know why I even agreed to this. But I did. You know why I did? Because God had been so good to my master before I was ever his servant. I saw enough of God on my master to sign on. And I saw enough about God on my master to sign on that now God's working in me. I saw my master pray to God, and now I pray to God. And now because I pray to God, God answered my prayer. And your sister saw enough about God on me to tell y'all about it. And now I get to tell you. I prayed. God answered. I had the camels. I needed someone to offer water to me and the camels. And your sister did. Yeah, I slapped them earrings on her. And those bracelets. Because I was so happy that the prayer I could not afford for God not to answer, he actually did. And this is why I'm here. He's testifying. I'm telling you what's missing in effective Christianity is we don't testify enough. Now, listen to me. Some of you have told your story so many times you think nobody wants to hear it. But I'm telling you, when you live with a vitality and a vibrancy in your Christianity, not only will people let you tell your story, they'll ask you for it. And I think we bite our tongue. You kids that have grown up in church, when is the last time you told another teenager, I've grown up in church, I heard the gospel at this age, somebody took me out in children's church and led me to the Lord. I grew up listening. I've grown up in a church where my parents have taught me this and taught me that. I was there when this happened. This happened in my church. This happened in my life. God answered the prayer. God took my grandmother or my aunt or my uncle to the Lord, but I know where my aunt, uncle, or grandmother is because they put their faith in. I'm just simply saying, you're so busy telling somebody else's story on SportsCenter or on the movies. Why don't you start telling your own story? Can't nobody tell anybody else what God did for you better than you can. And God is moving. I mean, we got to get everybody dialed in Genesis 24 in order to get Abraham happy. And we're one step closer now. We started with Abraham and the servant. Now we got Rebecca. And now we got the brother. Do you see God working? Now I'm telling you, he's working in you too. Don't bite your tongue. I know you got to make money. I know you got places to go. I know you got a schedule. I know the kids need to get their homework done. I know your personality says, I really don't like to be around a bunch of people and telling them. I know all that happens. But at the end of the day, you're not the master. He is. And you didn't show up on planet Earth because you decided to come and do what you want to do. You're here tonight because your master gave you a job when you didn't have one and finances you when you can't come up with enough money yourself. And looks out for you when you can't look for yourself. You're here tonight because he who could did send you on a mission. And just because down the road in the mission, things done got pretty good and you're smelling yourself, I'm trying to tell you it doesn't mean that you're not still on a mission. Make sure you stick to the script. You're not the boss. You've been sent by the boss. And when you get away from the boss, don't stop talking about the boss, because you still got to take back the successful mission to the boss. And one day, we're standing for the judgment seat of Christ. He ain't going to ask you what position you had on your job, what car you drove, or how much you had saved up, or how close you were to winning the Powerball. He's going to ask you if you stuck to the mission. And if you did, you're going to hear well done. If you don't, wood, hay, and stubble. That ain't nothing to play with. Father, help us. Help us. Help us not to forget why we're here. Whew. We get in so many conversations. We talk to so many people. We're so busy. We got work. We got school. We got sports. We got fun. We got recreation. All these things. And sometimes we get so comfortable on the mission, we forget we're on one. Help us. In Jesus' name, amen.